You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hello, and welcome to another fabulous episode of Dear Multi-Hyphenate. I am your host, Michael Kushner, and as always, I'm so excited to be bringing you new stories and insight of the art of multi-hyphenating in the theater. Thanks, as always, to Broadway Podcast Network. You're all amazing. And please, if you are a new listener or you are a devoted listener, please follow on Instagram at TheMichaelKushner or at DearMultiHyphenate and rate, subscribe, comment, share with your friends, your family, whoever, your Grindr hookup, I don't know, just get the word out there. And because I love telling these stories and I love having these interviews and I love hearing from you about the joy that it brings you, the listener, and the insight that it brings you and the inspiration it brings you. So please, would you do that for me? am I going nuts? Who knows? Anyway, I am so excited to share this interview with you. But first, I am doing a sale at Michael Kushner Photography, a summer sale from now, which when I'm recording this, we're releasing this episode May 16th, 2022, to Friday. What is that? May 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th. Friday, May 20th. I'm doing a week-long summer sale, $100 off if you book by yourself, $150 off if you book with a friend. It's just going to be really fun to have you in the studio, and there's no password, no code needed. Just sign up right now, www.michaelkushnerphotography.com, and submit a form through there. Okay, let's go on with this episode. I am so excited to have Melissa Rose Hirsch, a longtime friend, on the podcast. She is a doula, she is a performer, she is a blog writer, and she is a songwriter. She has a musical with her writing partner, Chris Hlinka, called Bradical and the Pink Socks, which is also written by Preston Max Allen. Melissa has sung backup for Fish at Madison Square Garden, and she runs the blog Charged Thoughts on Instagram, where she explores the human experience as romantically as possible and reminds her readers through love, loss, healing, and feeling that we are all the same after all. I wanted to call this episode that same thing, you know, not only to tie in her brand so that, like, when people are Googling her, you know, we are all the same after all happens, you know, comes up, shows up under her name, but because it was also a theme in this episode. So I really hope you take something away with it. I think this conversation is absolutely beautiful. Bringing in being a doula into theater creation and multi-hyphenating. So I hope you enjoy. Again, follow, comment, subscribe, like, do all that stuff, and enjoy. Hello, Melissa Rose Hirsch.
Hello, how are you?
I am tired. We were just connecting before we recorded about being a COVID long hauler, and that I walked 100 blocks today, the first amount of exercise that I've done in about 2 years since the moment I discovered, I was like, oh, something doesn't feel very good in my body.
Very proud of you.
Thank you.
It's a good Friday for that.
It is, oh, Friday the 13th.
Yes, it is. That is very witchy, which I love.
It is very witchy. And in the Jewish religion, the number 13 is actually very lucky. It's it's good. And you are also very witchy, as am I.
Yes.
So this is perfect that we're recording this on Friday the 13th.
It is kismet.
It is. And beshert, which is a word
Thank you, beshert.
I love beshert. It's meant to be. So how are you on this day? What's up? What's going on?
You know, I had a beautiful Friday. I taught some voice lessons, took a yoga class, and it's a bit cloudy, but that's okay because I know that the sun is coming. So I'm a summer baby, as I know you are too, July. And so I'm always happiest when I know that the flowers are just blooming and we have a lot of fun and a lot of rebirth in front of us.
I'm going to make a, I want to hang out with you and your group of friends so much. I think you're all so wonderful. I'm going to make it a point to do so this summer.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. Honestly, same. Let's just like make the circle bigger and fuller. And it's, you know what I love, I will say about friends in New York City and being artists in New York City is that I wouldn't be half of the artist, half of the person, half of the dreamer or daredevil that I am without a group of people around me who really encourage and love and say yes. Like, you have a crazy, insane idea about this new project. Yes, do it. And I think that is actually really one of the most important things in this city and especially in this industry is having a community of people who say yes to you. So shout out to all those folks. I feel very grateful.
That's beautiful. I think I get a lot of questions of like, how do you self-start? How do you start self-producing? And I think a lot of it is a testament to your ensemble and the community that you build because,
absolutely,
you know, when you're having a drink or smoking or doing whatever, and you just say this like, dude, like I've always wanted to do this. And someone listens and goes, then let's fucking do it.
Absolutely. You know, when I've been a performer for as long as I can remember, but I was at a party once telling a silly, silly little story that me and Christopher Holinka, my writing partner and I, decided we wanted to write a children's book. And we'd always been passionate about it. And we got really fucked up one night in college. And we were like, let's write a children's book. And it's actually based on a lot of some true experiences in Chris's life. And I was at a party with Sammy Lopez, who now is one of my brilliant producers. And I told him this little story. And he looked at me with red solo cups in our hands. And he said, let's make that into a musical. And fast forward a few years later, we're still doing it. So it is so true. Tell your crazy ideas to your friends when you're drunk and you never know.
Why do you think things don't happen? Like, I feel like there's some conversations that are like that. And then there's never a follow through. So what, why do you think things don't happen?
That's a beautiful question because I think I have a universal answer, at least in my experience. I've had a lot of beautiful projects come to fruition. I've also had a lot of beautiful projects not come to fruition. And I believe that a lot of it has to do with timing. And I also believe that a lot of it has to do with where we are as artists in our plot line of our big book of life. And my rule with myself is that I never put anything to bed. If it doesn't come forward today, then I don't say, oh, this is horrible and it got rejected and I'm never going to do it again. My rule is I just put it back in the journal. And for example, if I was out with somebody and I got a spark of, oh, that reminds me of this thing, maybe that's the right person, right? Like there are a million people in our life that we have these destined soul contracts to create with or to fall in love with or to make friends with or whatever. So I really do believe in the universe's grand timing and also paired with a splash of belief in speaking your art and speaking your heart, really.
I think we have to, as artists, understand like we are much more in tune with the universe and impulse than we think. I think if we don't get a good vibe about something, that is the universe and the ancestors and the
absolutely
and our our psyche that we have to trust. I feel like we don't have to trust, and even if we don't normally trust it, and I feel like even saying yes to things that maybe not feel the best, there's still something to learn in that. There's always a lesson in a collaborative.
Right. And you know what I always love about you is your whole thing with Titanic.
Yeah.
And how you really, and I believe it because you believe it, right?
Yeah.
And that to me is like that inner knowing of things that don't really make sense. I am someone who said I never wrote music. Ever. It was just not something that ever happened in my life. I was singing other people's music. I would try to write music, but I was then 26 and I met one person and I had one beautiful night with a stranger. And ever since then, for the past 3.5 years, music writing is something that is so a part of my life, is feels like a destined purpose. And I think that essentially kind of like your Titanic thing, right? Like these things that we know to be true, but there's like no real reason why it happened. It just unfolds. And I really, it is romantic to talk about the muse in that way, but you know, I'm a romantic kind of gal. And I think it's more beautiful to believe that way.
Same here. And hearing you open to that, and I'm getting the chills thinking about that, because like I was with someone at an event. And they were a producer or something. I don't even remember what they were. But, you know, at those events where it's a bunch of industry people, and it is our job to net weave.
Chapter
10 of How to Be a Multi-Hyphenate.
Yes, net weave. I love that.
Net weave, because I think we all hate. I don't mean to say we all do. I don't mean to be a generalization. It doesn't mean to be a generalization, but many people go, how do you network? I hate networking. And I think when we think of it like we're solving each other's problems and we're there. And so at these sort of net weaving opportunities, I think what happens is for me, I'm very open, and I will talk about my Titanic past life experience very openly.
Right.
But it is also a gauge to see who's on my level. Mm-hmm. So I brought it up with this producer that I was like, oh, I kind of like the work that they've done. I like, you know, we're talking here. I wonder if this is a person. So someone I think asked like what my tattoo is on my right arm. And I said, the Titanic, I'm very connected with it, past life. And she looked at me as if I, not to quote the movie Titanic, but was that like I was a bug that needed to be squashed. Like she just did not get it. And in turn, I went, you're not my creative people.
Right. Well, and I love that. And I don't like the word test, but it is true of anything in your professional life. Like I want to make art with people who want to make the kind of art that I want to make. Not because that's exclusive, but that's because we're all going to get the best result if we can speak the same language. If you and I are speaking two different languages, how are we going to produce a piece of art that's going to speak its own language to audiences? So I love that you do that. And honey, I speak your Titanic. I love that about you. And I don't think it's cute. I think it's real. I really do. So thank you for being so open about that.
Thank you for saying that. Now, what to you is a multi-hyphenate?
A multi-hyphenate to me is a person who has a lot of creativity inside of them and is unafraid to express it out of multiple pores.
I'm obsessed with that. I love asking that question to people because it's so weird, like writing a book about something, because it's like, who allowed me to come up with the rules? Right. And not only that, but like, it's art. So like, we should be challenging each other, and we should be bringing, if we identify as multi-hyphenates, we should be challenging each other, and we should be saying like, this is how I see multi-hyphenating.
Uh-huh.
So I love to hear how my guests and my friends view multi-hyphenating. And it's basically, that's what you just said is basically how I view it as well. And
yeah.
And you said something when we were talking about, like, you were like, I'm a multi-hyphenate, but I also do other things that, and I was, but when you started talking about that, I was like, no, that's such a part of your, in my opinion, it's up to you to, you know, categorize it however you want. But in my opinion, those things are also a part of your multi-hyphenate experience because you have justified it and turned it into a theatrical, a holistic theatrical experience, yeah. in my eyes, watching you blossom as an artist.
Yeah. You know, thank you for saying that. For people listening, I am recently a birth doula, which is something that I've wanted to do for my entire life. And I always thought, oh, when I'm done performing, when I'm done doing all this, then I'll do that, which is essentially you're there to support emotionally a birthing person while they're giving birth. And I decided to get that certification in the pandemic when a lot of things got slower, but my passions came really forward to the front of my mind, like I think it did for a lot of us. But the reason that I realize now after seeing birth and after being around birthing people is birth is art. Birth is theatrical. Birth is a nothing to a something. Birth is a ceremony. Birth is a transformation. So my art, my writing, my my songwriting, my blog writing, my performing, my acting has gotten so much wider ever since I've witnessed birth. Because isn't that what we do as actors? We breathe life into people. Isn't that what we do as writers? We breathe life into characters that never existed before.
Okay. So
I have many babies out there in the world. Although I've never physically yet pushed a child out of me, I really have birthed. And I think multi-hyphenates are some of my favorite type of people because we are birthing people.
Take that for a soundbite for my Instagram. That is so beautiful. And it's like, I think it's up to the artist to, of course, come up with their hyphens. But I have so many artists that go, I am an actor, producer, educator, mother. And at first I'm like, because I was so heady about figuring out what this is, I went, you can't put mother in the hyphen because it's not. But then at the same time, it's like, one, who am I to fucking decide that?
Right.
Two, it is like, that is to be able to exist as a life giver in that way is so beautiful, and oftentimes I feel like dominates the choices that is made as an artist. And I feel like that bleeds into the why and understanding why someone does that. It is so, I love how you put that. I think that is so wonderful. And another point for me to go, like, I can lead us in conversation about what a multi-hyphenate is, but it's up for us to figure out how we identify as one and the rules that apply to us and breaking and rules are also made to be broken too.
Love that. Yeah. I mean, the day I decided to call myself, the term that I first found was artist because that felt like an umbrella to me.
Yeah.
And the day I found that was the most freeing day of my whole life because I was for a long time performing as a musical theater actor and getting success and loving it. But there was this hole that I felt I had to squeeze myself into. And I felt so much more than that. I felt like, how could I see myself as who I really am? Because for a long time, I am a woman who has curves. I am a woman who presents a very specific way. And I love my body and I love how I present. But from casting's end, they were letting me know who I was because of what I looked like. And that was something that in my mid-20s, I really had to sit with because I started becoming that like party girl that like all these people saw me as. And I was like, is this actually me? So I had this massive professional heartbreak around 26 where I didn't go forward with a show that I had been workshopping forever. A show that, again, felt like I birthed a character, felt like I breathed a lot of air into it. And it was this massive, massive heartbreak. And in that moment, I started creating my own writing and I started creating my own music really out of, I had to, I was sad. So a lot of it started pouring out of me. But I'm also a massive believer in that, like, your heartbreak is your place to plant in the soil, and your heartbreak is where that phoenix happens. So once I got rejected, it really was redirection for me. Mm-hmm. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me, was to not go forward on a path of people telling me who I was from behind a table, and instead me telling the world, this is who I am as an artist. And from that time period in my life, I have called in all the things that I want to be doing and all the things that I want to be surrounded by. And that's been something that has been really healing, truly just healing for me as an artist and a multi-hyphenate.
There's so much juiciness in there. I have a great, I have a great story for you about heartbreak. I have a lot of almosts in this industry, a lot of almost Broadway debuts, a lot of almost this, a lot of almost whatever. So many lovely almosts.
Same. We love an almost.
And so here's a great story. So it was right when my fiance Remy and I started dating, and I was in a reading of a new musical that basically was all but guaranteed to go off Broadway for a run. And we had just started dating. So the reading happened, I think, 3 months within me moving to the city. And I was like, oh, I'm a star. I'm going to be amazing.
I've made it.
And I was the lead of the musical. And I was literally like, I'm going to be okay. So we all were a little excited about this. And Remy and I started dating, and we started getting the auditions for the off-Broadway run. And I said to Remy, I said, it would be so great if you did this with us. Like, audition for this show with us. We'll all be in it together. It will be so fun. As if I have any say in that right. moment as a producer or casting director. But I was, you know, 22, 23. I was young and green. And so I emailed the coordinator of the auditions. They got Remy an audition. I don't book the show, and Remy booked my role.
No! No!
Yeah.
That is the universe playing a funny trick on you.
Rich. And what's so funny about it is it wound up not being an off-Broadway run. It was like a 29-hour reading it wound up becoming, and then Remy didn't move on with the show either, because I think they went with like a 13-year-old. But like,
right.
It's so funny what we have to deal, the type of heartbreak that we have to deal with in this industry, and the also stupidity that goes into it, because like, they knew we were together.
Right.
And invested in our relationship too. And then we're like, bye.
Well, you know what? Kudos to you for your relationship, because that would have been hard for me.
Well, it was hard. And we had a conversation about it, you know, and it triggered a lot of, what do we do to avoid this?
Right.
Not only, even if it wasn't my soon to be fiance, how do I avoid that heartbreak that you're right. talking about in the industry? And absolutely. I think that was when multi-hyphenating for me came to be, because I was like, I am going to control my narrative. I am going to create the work that means the most to me. And if that work means the most to me, then I will, one, be doing my best, and two, producing a product that affects and that changes. Because I don't know why we as artists are so focused on sounding the same. I don't know why, because all of the people that have become stars, that right. have had careers, they all have their own stamp, their own points of views on their artistry, and that's what makes them succeed. Right. So anyway, that's it. But
I love that story, and I hear you so, like, so loudly in my heart, because a big like phrase came into my head 2 years ago at the very start of the pandemic. I think people were asking me to do like some Zoom readings and things when we weren't doing that. I was like crouching over my piano and doing little Zoom song cycles. And I had this moment where I said to myself, if I am going to be a vessel for art, I would like to be a vessel for my own art. And this huge thing of a legacy started popping into my head of what do I want to leave behind and all these things. And it's from that, and also from a beautiful heartbreak, that I started my blog on Instagram, Charged Thoughts, which Charged Thoughts has been one of the most beautifully fulfilling things in my entire life, because it is just the first time in my whole life where I started focusing mostly on my story and not the story of my romantic partners, my professional partners, my everything. And this is why I feel passionate about us taking a step back and zooming out on the book of our life and not really giving a shit about who cares what somebody else is reading. How are you telling your story? Because we're all going to be gone one day. And I think about the things that you're leaving behind, and I think about the things that I'm leaving behind, and I'm really proud of them. And I think before I decided to spread my wings and show myself as a multi-hyphenated artist, I could say that in a way. I absolutely could. But it was like 1/4 of who I am. And so I think for a lot of people, if they're called to something more, whatever that something more is, if you're going to be a vessel for art, which is a beautiful privilege and gift to be a vessel for any person's art, make sure that you're using your body, your sacred body, to be that vessel for art that you really fucking believe in.
So speaking of sacred body, how does Charged Thoughts and being a doula and being a performer and a writer, how does that all sort of circumnavigate each other? Like, what is sort of the common denominator of those things? Like, we talked about breathing life into those, but like, what do you think is sort of the thing that gels it all together?
I love this question, and I think maybe you're the first person who ever asked it to me, so thank you. I think my big umbrella thesis for who I am as a human and who I am as a doula and an artist and everything that I do is that I'm interested in showing and presenting to the world that we are all the same. Mm. I see the world in this romantic way, and I, as an artist, can find small things to see in the world that are so ordinary. And I didn't know that I was like in a small percentage of people who do that. And when I started writing about these little moments, these tiny little ordinary moments that are actually massive and sacred for our life experience, I started realizing that the tagline of my blog is "We are all the same after all." And that's something that I feel politically, that's something that I feel everywhere in the world, right? It's a really powerful statement if we can all have empathy to know that we are all the same after all. And, you know, going back to birth, which has truly taught me everything that I know, it is this thing that happens every single day. Just like people fall in love every day, people break up every day, people walk the reservoir around Manhattan every day, these little small moments that actually change your life. It's the thing that I'm the most interested as an artist about experiencing, about writing, and about living in my everyday life.
That is so beautiful. And I love that you brought up, we are all the same after all, because, and you know, when you said politically, because it's like, you are sort of, it's so interesting what we're talking about, birth and giving birth, and we're in this political uprising
nightmare
regarding Roe v. Wade and the right to choose, and a woman to decide what is right for her body.
Yeah. I can say firsthand as a doula that it is fucking hard what you have to do to bring a person into this world. And that is a choice to go through that experience alone, let alone everything that happens after birth. So I am a doula who clearly is very loudly pro-choice. And I think it's insane to be someone. Well, actually, I don't think it's insane. It's exactly what it should be, that I'm fascinated by birth and I will protect the right to birth and I will protect the right to not birth for all of me.
That's so beautiful. And what I'm going to say is someone that is an outsider that does not have female reproductive organs and someone that does want to one day be able to give birth, because I think it is such a beautiful thing. And it's a deep seated sadness that I have that I actually can't give birth. But I think just as you're saying that birth is hard, that the choice to not give birth is just as hard. And the fact that these white, straight congressmen and women are approaching this as if it's just willy-nilly deciding
right
to just have an abortion. It's that decision is difficult and it is hard, and the option to have a safe and healthy and supportive abortion is what we're all fighting for.
Correct. It's not a small thing that anybody goes through, specifically someone who's never had to wait for a pregnancy test to turn. It's an insane experience, those 2 minutes of your life. It's not something that any of us take lightly. And it is, I was talking to a lot of my girlfriends the other day about it. I was like, I've never gone to DC to march, but I will for this. You know, it's like one of those things that I feel fucking deep inside of me that I refuse to just sit back. And as a birth worker too, specifically, you know, it's like something that I will absolutely march and scream about.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So I could safely say that I've not had a doula on this podcast.
Cool.
So what is the process of becoming one?
Oh,
this is a layered question. What is the process of becoming one? And in turn, how has that affected your processes of your other hyphens?
Love this question. I was so fortunate to train with Deborah Pascali Bonaro, who created the term orgasmic birthing, which sounds like it doesn't sound like two words that should go together, but sometimes it really can.
Yes.
Her entire method is that we can bring pleasure and spirituality into birthing. Because if you think about it, like in order to have a baby, you have to have sex and you're using the same parts of your body. So it can be a beautifully pleasurable experience. Hard, certainly hard, but can be something that is lovely. So I did a course with her. There's a lot of reading. There is a paper to write. And then you go on after you're certified to do all the things, you go on and you start assisting births. And to go to your question about what it's helped me as an artist, the thing that birth has taught me the most is that life and death are truly just cousins. So sisters, really, they're so close. There's one moment where you're in the birth canal and there's one moment where you're out. And it has taught me about what that means in all types of creation and how labor is exhausting and it's long and it's hard and you never, ever, ever know when it's gonna end, but that baby will come out. It's also taught me that in most births, there's a moment, specifically I'm talking about like unmedicated, there's a moment where the birthing person looks at either the midwife or the doctor or the doula and says, I cannot do this. And it is in that moment of surrender, usually when the baby comes right out. And that has just taught me so much about life and about art. So when I'm scribbling and I'm saying, nobody's picking out my work, in that moment of surrender is maybe when that baby's gonna come, that art baby. It really, I mean, I should probably write a book about this because I could just speak about how birth and art are connected in every way.
That is so amazing.
Isn't that fascinating? The second you give up is the second your body says, thank you, let me just do what I do. Get out of your head and let me take over. Yeah, it's a metaphor for life, isn't it? Damn, get out. My Virgo rising is like, I know, get out of your head.
That's amazing. Wait, am I a Virgo rising?
Stop. Are you a Cancer Virgo rising too?
I might be. I'm
going on Costa. I knew I loved you. Wait, I need to know.
I'm going on Costa right now. Hold on.
Yes. This is a hold that we need. You're a Virgo rising. Stop. Okay, honey, you are a Cancer moon as well. Are you okay?
No. No.
I'm an Aries moon, so you know there's some fire in there. But yes, Cancer and Virgo rising, I love you.
I'm obsessed. I knew that sounded familiar because that was a new discovery. My best friend, Ryan Mack, he's very into astrology. And so he'll send me like my readings and stuff like that. But I always just was like, I'm a Cancer. But that is sort of saying like, I'm a performer, but like the Virgo rising is like, I'm a Barrett tenor who specializes in vaudevillian type comedy.
In astrological terms, we are multi-hyphenate, okay?
Yes, literally, I'm obsessed.
There we are, it's in the stars, I love that.
So, okay, so Aries moon means you have like a fire in your—
Yeah, it just means like, I love a party, like I love a good time. I'm all about— my favorite thing about the Aries is, I mean, ask my exes, she'd be wild sometimes. But my favorite thing about Aries is they are like, get shit done.
Yes.
And it's not surprising to me that you're a Virgo rising and you're writing a book and you run a podcast. Like, we're type of people who like, we're going to write it out and we're going to do it and we're going to do it meticulously and we're kind of perfectionists about it. So
yes, except when we schedule a podcast episode, we just need to like, just disclose like how the scheduling that the nightmare I put you through in getting this here. So for those of you that are listening, I'm not good at Google calendars.
We're getting there.
So we're here and we're recording it after many times Melissa confirmed with me. And I said, that's funny. I'm in Guam.
I can't record
today.
Like I said to you in a text, we are two Cancers. It is a safe space. It's cozy. It's a warm space that we can make mistakes in.
It is so cozy. And speaking of cozy, you know, going back to our talk about environment, you know, I love the people that you have surrounded yourself with. I love seeing you on Instagram and TikTok with the women and the people that you have surrounded yourself with, because like, I think, you know, it's so important. It's so important for us to have a supportive group that allows us to have these vulnerable conversations and these—
Absolutely. You know, Matt Roden says, my dear sweet Matt Roden, who happens to be, when I play gigs around New York of my own music, my guitarist, who also happens to be my friend, who teaches me so much, who is a collaborator, right? He always says to me and reminds me every day that, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships. And that's why I will always be happily in a ship in your tide. And anyone who I think and feel is like in our heart and has that connection to us, the better you do, the better I do, the better he does, the better she does, the better they do. So what we can do to support each other will only come back tenfold because, like Matt says, a rising tide lifts all ships.
That's so beautiful. And also that kind of ties into being a doula, I feel. You know what I mean? I feel like
I think that, and it's kind of like connected to my blog as well. I think like the way in which we act emotionally is the thing that ties us together, because all those things that my Aries moon is not afraid to say on the internet and type about sex and relationships and heartbreak and pain and politics, all those things that I'm going to put on the internet, people are like, oh shit, you think about that too? And I'm like, yeah, we all do. So same with birth, right? All these feelings that if I can support you emotionally, maybe that's the umbrella. Going back to your other question, if I can support you emotionally, I'm happiest.
Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful. I also find that being a doula is theatrical all on its own.
It is.
Like, you have the beginning, middle, and end.
It is. It's creation. It's transformation. Isn't that what we watch? Isn't that what we want?
What was your first experience like as assist? So have you, so you no longer assist, you just can do this on your own now?
Oh no. Assisting meaning like assisting the birthing person. Yeah.
Got it. I thought you meant like in your training, you had to assist a doula.
No, I am brand new, and I am, my very first birth was with my dear sweet friend, Kelly Glenn, whose son is now 5 months old. Oh my goodness. He is perfect. Shout out Weaver. I love you with all my heart.
So we had coffee.
Yes, we did. And she was what, 9 months pregnant?
She was like ready. Like, I think you were like talking about like, okay, in 2 days when you're, and I don't know how soon after that coffee date, but
I think it was probably 5 days later.
What was that like for you? Like, what was the getting the call or the text? Like, how, like, run me through it.
Well, you know, so it was my first time too. So there was a lot of learning because we can never predict birth, right? It is live theater, truly. Yeah. And Kelly was so strong and so brave and so go for it. She was game from day one, as was her husband, Carl, who was an amazing birth partner to her. And throughout all her labor, it is a story that I will protect because it is her beautiful story to tell. She was so strong and committed and centered. And she really showed me how animalistic we can be in our moments of high pain and high intensity and high pleasure too. You know, after he safely, thankfully arrived, she showed me that we're animals, and she showed me that our bodies can do miraculous things. And her and her husband, Carl, showed me what teamwork really looks like. And being a third member to that team is and will really always be one of the honors of my life.
That's so beautiful. And again, in tying it to theatricality, to make it even more of a multi-hyphenate experience, I think that that mindset and that experience, what that does, it is theater. It helps us, I think, deal with rejection and deal with the pain of the industry.
Right.
And deal like when we are rejected, multi-hyphenates go, how do I still tell this story when, okay, I got rejected from this producer, or okay, that $50,000 fell through, or that, you know, that offer, whatever it is, right? Like,
honestly, I have it written on my mirror. Rejection is redirection. It really, really is. And you can never, ever know why or how something is a no, but when it's a no, trust that there is a yes next door. And, you know, that birth did not go how, if I were to write it out, how I thought would be the best birth for Kelly, it did not go that way, because it's never going to go the way that we think it does. But we still got this person who was healthy, and she is nailing motherhood, and her birth is perfectly what her birth was meant to be. Just like our art is always going to land on the ears. This podcast, I hope whoever's listening, it's landing on the ears of you. It is divine. It's supposed to land into the ears of the person who it's meant to. And my art and your art and your book and my blog and my songs and all these things, right? They're going to land on the people in due time and when they're supposed to. And I really do believe that. And I trust the muse deeply.
I love that. I have some really deeply devoted listeners to Dear Multi-Hyphenate, which is, which is so lovely. And I can tell you that the people that I know listen to this podcast are going to be so excited to hear, your words, because I think, you know, what's so interesting about recording this podcast is like, we can always talk about boundaries. We could always talk about time management. We can always talk about failure, but there are so many other stories and so many other points of views and so many lessons that we learn from living life.
Oh, speak.
And putting that into the theater, because we can't be human beings if we're so only connected to the theater. Like,
right.
I love the theater. It is my life. I've been in the industry 22 years. Like, I love it, please. But boy, do I love traveling and food and history and ghosts and learning about birth and the things that will make my photography and producing and performance, yada, 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 better.
Absolutely. And I think that, like, I went to Marymount Manhattan College for musical theater, go Griffins. And I think that I talk a lot on their panel. It's one of the honors of my life, talking to graduating seniors. So that's why this is exciting to me too, things like this, because I think about who I was when I was 21, 22, graduating college. And I think about who I am now at 29, almost 30. And the amount of deaths and births that I've gone through as an artist, as a woman, as a person in New York City. I mean, it's just kind of unbelievable. All that to say, there's a lot of moments in my life or my career in these past 10 years where I have felt like I hit a personal rock bottom. But my favorite thing about rock bottom is that it is a push-off point for you. Mm-hmm. It's better than keeping yourself underwater. Hit that rock bottom so you can push off and you can swim back up to a brand new surface that you never knew existed before. And, you know, to what you were saying about all these little tiny things that make you you and that make me me, make our art so much better. And the more life that you live, the more art that you can give, the more specifically you can tell people that we are all the same after all. I think when a song touches your heart, it's not because the music is so beautiful or the songwriter is that profound. Those are all true, but the truth is it's touching something in you. That's why we get goosebumps, because we said, oh my God, me too. I feel seen by that. So whatever you can do to connect to other people and collaborate, I think is the greatest gift that we can give each other as artists and as human beings.
I love you. I think we need to, younger, newer artists need to hear your words, and they have to start to approach artistry in that way, because it opens us up to much more potential just than going, I want to be Roxy in Chicago. Like, that's cool. That's awesome.
So cool. I hope you do.
I hope you do. And I still have my dream roles.
Right.
What are you going to do in between?
Right.
And what are you going to do that has potential to affect and change? Why? Right. You are a living, breathing human being. You have the power to do that. Why not?
Right.
I think I saw something on Instagram that was like, it was about Mrs. Doubtfire closing. And there was a comment that was like something about it, and it was interesting because it was, someone said socially responsible artistry, which is a phrase I use a lot. So I'm like, are you listening to the podcast? but
I bet they are.
Someone said something about socially responsible artistry, and someone responded saying, well, it doesn't always have to be that. It can be just fun. And I don't agree with that, because you can have fun and learn. Like the producers, it's my favorite example, because it is a statement about Judaism,
right?
About recovery, about healing, and about how wild this industry is. There are so many different lessons in The Producers,
right?
But it's one of the funniest, most brilliant musicals in the world. And that's, I think, why it is so successful as opposed to other musical comedies.
Right.
Because there is something to learn and take away from it. There's a lesson.
Exactly. And, you know, that is what I think we're all striving to see and to create is, I've done my job. If you're walking out of the theater and you're thinking about something, you know, I remember Legally Blonde is one of my like top three, right?
Hello, we need a revival.
Oh my God.
Let's cast it right now. Who's your L? Who's your go-to L?
Oh my God. Like I need, can I be real? Like I want a Black trans woman. I'm like ready for it to be brand new. I want a whole new take. But the thing about Legally Blonde, I remember being like 15, like seeing, oh my God, you guys in my like high school and getting a lot of beef for it being my favorite musical. And like, it's kind of how I feel about being a Swiftie as well. People were like, you like Taylor Swift, right? And I had this like kind of shame when I was younger about the things that I liked. Now when those two things specifically, Elle Woods and Legally Blonde, the musical that I listened to 3 million times in my youth, made me the woman that I am today. I can confidently say that because she is someone who took heartbreak and turned it into, alchemized it into something beautiful, which is literally like my whole thesis statement of life. And Taylor Swift is another one, right? Like who just writes about real experiences. So all those little things that we have like, oh, this is like this like kind of embarrassing thing that made me like rethink my life. That is not embarrassing. That is the beautiful part of you. And every art that makes us think is the only type of art I want to be seeing. And you know, what, it doesn't need to only speak to me or only speak to you. If it speaks to one person, then it's worth it.
I think that's why Wicked is so important too, because like,
genius.
I have no, like, I used to be ashamed of loving Wicked as much as I do.
Right, like a full fangirl, right?
full fangirl, Judah. Okay, so at Ithaca, we have very me day, very not me day, and very nobody day. And for very nobody day, you have to show up in black, gray, or white, and be stripped of your isms, and just be like present.
Oh, very Ithaca, absolutely. Very Ithaca. Love to see it.
And then for very not me day, You have to show up for Voice of Movement as something that you is the complete opposite of you. So I showed up as a neo-Nazi.
Wow. Yeah. This is Ithaca getting in it.
I know. And then for Very Me Day, they were like, you have to come as the absolute essence of you.
Totally.
And I head to toe, green, witch hat, dress, just I was Elphaba. And that's how deep-seated Wicked is for me.
But
what is so amazing about it was Wicked is a reflection of the Bush administration. And so, you know, then we had Obama, which we were like, happy ending, great. But now then we had Trump,
right?
And there's so many things in Wicked, you know, give everyone an enemy.
Right. Taking away voices, you know.
Taking away voices, things like that. There's so many different things in Wicked that are political.
Fake news, you know, when they're just like spilling lies about who she is. It's you're right. It's so, so relevant.
I mean, even Madame Marble spilling
lies.
Right. She literally is like, this wicked one. You know, she's, her green skin is but an outer manifestorium of her wicked nature, whatever it is. And that's,
I think I would make a great Madame Marble one day. Honestly, that just hit me hard. I'm ready for it.
I actually just feel like you would be so good in that show in general, but like
one day, but the universe provides.
Exactly. The midwife.
That's me. The baby's coming.
I see a nose.
That's literally me in real life.
That's hysterical.
Kelsey, I'm ready. I did the research.
She did the research. She's ready to live present and in the moment. You are amazing.
Oh,
and
I love you.
I'm so glad that I'm so glad we had this time together.
Thank goodness. Oh, we've got to stop.
No, you're amazing. Where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at Melissa Rose Hirsch or on my blog at charged.thoughts. for all the juicy details.
Yes. So TikTok is the same as Instagram.
Yeah. Like, that's Melissa great. Rose Hirsch.
You are amazing, and I cannot wait for everyone to hear your incredible words of love and wonder. I think you are such a special person. And
thank you so much for having me. I loved this conversation.
Of course, my love. Okay, have a good day, and thanks all for listening.
Yay!
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.